Do you want to bring Christian greetings this morning? It's good to be together in the house of the Lord, and it's good to see a full house this morning. I want to welcome each one of you here. It's good to have you here to worship with us. Really appreciate what we've heard this morning. Somehow when we hear something on fathers, you know, we all want to be the perfect fathers, but there's I know for myself this morning, many areas I can see I need to grow in, and I believe that's part of life is to keep pressing forward, and we need these challenges to push us on. I want to talk a little bit about fathers this morning, not necessarily a Father's Day sermon as such, but thank God for godly fathers, for godly men that have influenced my life, men of integrity, men of honesty, alacrity, which would be enthusiasm or readiness, men with focus and vision. Thank God for my father, for many men here and elsewhere that have had an influence on my life. I know there are several here that have lost fathers, but I believe their influence still lives on. Just because they have went on doesn't mean that their influence and what they stood for doesn't have an effect on your lives. And I had to, thinking this morning when we heard about Amon there, there's a father. I believe he's a father. I believe he has a couple children. Is that right? One child. There's a father that is to stand for what he believes is putting his life on the line. And for those of you that have been keeping up with the letters from Nicaragua in the last couple weeks here, we see the legacy there that brother, I believe they call him Jonah, left his family. I don't know the exact times and everything, but I believe it was of his Friday night or Saturday night a week ago. He passed away in his sleep, a young man with three children. His influence will live on. I believe it will be a blessing and a spiritual marker, if you want to say, to his children, his life. His testimony was a great blessing to his family. The things that people would come and say that he said to them just recently, his zeal for God and his willingness to speak out for Christ and to challenge people. Why aren't you living for Christ? If that would have been me that left this world in my sleep Saturday night a week ago, whenever it was, Friday night or Saturday night, what would have my testimony been? What kind of a legacy would have I have left? What would my last and final sermon have been? He was scheduled to preach last Sunday, but he never got to preach that message. He spoke to a lot more people than he planned on. Life is a journey. We never know how long the trip will be. At best, it is short. The Bible refers to life as a vapor, as a flower that comes and it's soon gone. And when we get ready to go on a trip, some of you that have been doing quite a bit of that lately, we want a map. Most of us look at the different options. Things have changed a little bit with technology, but I still like to see it on a map, not just go where the GPS tells me. Some routes might be more miles, but they take less time because of better roads. The shorter route may be more scenic or less. More often it's the longer route, maybe. Or shorter, or the longer route in miles. Depending on the time of the year, we might look at the weather predictions and for a northern route or a southern route and let that help us determine our route. If it's a route that we've taken quite a few times, you know, maybe we don't even need a map, but we get busy talking or we're listening to some CDs or something, and suddenly we're seeing things that we're not sure if these are really familiar, and we start paying attention. We start looking for road signs. And if we can't see anything soon that looks familiar, that's cause for concern. You know, where are we at? And if that happens to happen in Mississippi, it might be a long time before you see a sign or anything. You know, if you have a GPS now, it's a little different. It'll pretty much tell you where you're at, what road you're on. And my understanding is some of the new ones have a lot more things on them, traffic alerts and even speed traps that inform you, they give you a lot of information. But, you know, we're not used to traveling with that kind of technology. I remember many times traveling and not paying attention, maybe, and looking desperately, wanting to find a road, wanting to try to figure out where you're at. You can have a map. You can have everything there in front of you. But if you don't know what road you're on, and then where a town is in relation to where you're at, that map don't do you much good. And some of you younger ones probably don't know what that's like, to travel without some kind of technology along to show you where you're at. But you know, when you find a landmark that jogs your memory, I remember that barn or that farm or that, you know, something. It's a feeling of relief. You know you're on the right road. I'd like to make a little allegory to travel and to life's journey. You know, in life, we can choose our road or our destination. You know, if we choose the road, we will end up where that road leads. If we choose the destination, we will take the road that God chooses for us. We'll need to let Him choose the road for us. You know, in highway travel, we may have the privilege of traveling the same road a couple times or many times, but in life our minutes are constantly ticking. Time is short, and we can't go back and try the second time. You know, thank God we can change, we can do differently from here, we can get on the right road, and we can be washed. It says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we can't rerun our past. There is only one trip. So we won't necessarily come by the same landmarks, but we can look back in life at what I'm going to call spiritual markers. I've titled the sermon this morning, Remembering What God Has Done. You know, these times when God spoke to you in a real way, it may have been through another person, it may be through a sermon. It may have been a time when you were seriously searching and by reading His Word that He spoke to you. He answered your question. It may have been through a song, through a child. In a little bit, I might give a little bit of time if some of you have something you want to share along that line. Share an experience you've had where God was real to you. And it was a real turning point in your life or an affirmation of what He wanted you to do. I'd like to read, and I think it's along the same lines Brother Joe shared this morning, out of Deuteronomy 6, if you want to turn there. I want to read that chapter. Moses is exhorting him there. Deuteronomy 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted them in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies, and the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God hath commanded you, which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then shalt thou say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. I think here's a passage that brings out very clearly the responsibilities of fathers, of parents. You know, it says don't leave just a certain time for something, but it is a continual, it's an ongoing thing to teach. And here Moses was issuing a final warning to the children of Israel just before they enter the promised land. He says, Beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Egypt, a type of the world. And why did Moses worry about that? Wasn't it their forgetfulness that had kept them wandering around in the wilderness 40 years? Wasn't it their complaining that had caused him to lose his temper and it cost him an entrance into Canaan? Maybe not lose his temper, but get angry and do something he shouldn't have done there. You know, man's propensity to forget is still the same. Man's tendency to complain when things are rough, to forget God when things are not going good, or when they are going good. You know, isn't it still the same? And I'd like to make it clear here, you know, I believe spiritual markers, things in our past, are not something that should make us focus, that we should focus so much on the past that we neglect the present. It's not something that should bring glory to us, but rather it's something that should point to God. It's something that should bring in, it encourage us and should encourage others. If we share them, they should be an encouragement to those around us. They should remind us of what God has done in the past, draw us closer to God, and bring glory to God for what he has done and for what he is doing. And later on, I want to look at Joshua there, and as they were crossing over a little bit. I believe sometimes God uses other people, friends, spouses, to share a spiritual marker to encourage us. You know, could we be falling into the same trap as the children of Israel? You know, we have so many things handed to us. We find it so easy to blend in with the world around us. The things that they run after are, we find ourselves following, you know, maybe not right there, but from a distance. You know, we don't want to be obvious. And you know, Jesus made it clear that we cannot serve God and mammon. No man can serve two masters. You know, if we choose our destination, we won't be on the broad road. We will not be on the popular road. We will not have the same goals that the world has. You know, we're going to loathe the leeks and the garlics of Egypt. You know, the markers that chart our course will not be haphazard. They will spur us on to that final destination in a direct route over mountains, through deep valleys. And I'd like to share something of my own personal life this morning. It actually happened the time of my life before I was a Christian. But I'm positive I was still one of his, even though I was 13 years old. But many of you will remember that summer of 1981. My family went down to Guatemala to visit my aunt Marie and Uncle John and their family. We spent a couple weeks there, but sometime, I think it was 6 weeks after we got back. Well, in the meantime, and I'm not sure, I don't have everything exactly straight. I'm not real good with my dates and times and everything, but somewhere in there, my grandpa had a heart attack here, and he was in bad shape, in critical condition. And he was still in pretty bad shape when we, about 6 weeks after coming back from Guatemala, when we got the news that my Uncle John was shot and killed. And my Aunt Marie ended up living in our area, in this area here, for a short time. I don't remember exactly how long. But I was as a child, I think probably like a lot of normal children, I feared. And I feared when my parents went on even when they went to Springfield without us, it was just something there that I didn't like. I was worried something might happen to them. But by this time, I had kind of gotten used to it. It was a pretty routine thing with the occupation my dad had. And I didn't think about it that much anymore, and it seemed like so many tragic things had happened in our family. I also kind of had this feeling that, you know, nothing else would happen. And one afternoon, I noticed that after a phone call to the school, the teacher looked awful serious. But we didn't find out what it was till we got home. My parents and two siblings had a bad accident, and my mother was in critical condition. And I don't even really remember for sure who took us into the hospital. I think it was Brother David, but I'm not. I'd have to ask him about that. I think he was a teacher at that time. But I remember the awful suspense and the long trip in there. And trying to figure out, I knew that my dad had called, and that's about all we knew. And after getting there, we just found out that my mother was in very serious condition. And her life hung by a thread for several days. And just when there was a little progress, another setback came along. And during that time, the song, "Does Jesus Care?" became very precious to me. And I don't believe I ever sing it to this day without thinking about that time of my life. And I remember my dad putting his arm around me and asking if I felt Jesus speaking to me. Well, I didn't, as far as feeling a call, but I did pray fervently that Jesus would come and take us all home. And that's why I say with confidence that I knew I was still one of his. I thought then all our troubles would be over. And I realize now that that is maybe a rather selfish prayer, but I know he understands. And he always understands the cries of his children. I know there's others here that have gone through that and maybe don't have their mother here, and my heart goes out to you this morning. But I thank God that I still have my mother, and her faithfulness and support has been one of those markers for me. I know she's praying for me. And I don't know the exact date that I went to my parents' bedroom late one night and committed my life to Christ. But I know where it was. And I know the peace that it brought to my troubled heart. And the wonderful blessing of being able to fall asleep and not worrying if Jesus would come back tonight. And through that time also, and ever since then, my Aunt Marie's faithfulness has been her influence has been I count as a spiritual marker in my life also. Her calmness under stress. Her ability to sing when I knew her heart was aching. And she was struggling with raising a family without her husband. I believe we all face times like this. We all go through difficult times in life. And if we can, I think we need to remember these times. Remember, look back and see that, God has a purpose. He cares. And I know there's a lot of different situations, and they're not all the same, and life isn't fair. But I think we can go with confidence knowing that Jesus does care. And I'm going to give the opportunity now for just a few minutes. If there's somebody that has something you'd like to share, I want to feel free to do that. Something that will be an encouragement to others. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you made that choice. And I appreciate the encouragement, all of you there, sharing. And more of you want to share, you'll provide that opportunity later. I think it's a blessing to hear these experiences and things we're all in this journey together. And we're all there to help each other and to encourage each other on. I want to look a little bit at a couple events in Jacob's life, and I might not turn to them. I think they're very familiar. The first one was there when he left home, and his father blessed him and told him to go to go and find his a wife with his, I believe it would have been with his uncle Laban's daughters, their family. And he was going there, and I can only imagine he felt pretty alone that night and all out there all by himself. And he had that dream. He dreamt that there was a ladder down there beside him. It reached up to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood above it, and he made this promise to him. He said, "I'm the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou livest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And he said, "I'm going to be with you." When Jacob woke up, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid. He said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is a gate of heaven." And we know got up early there and took that stone that he had put up for his pillows, and he set them up for a pillar, and he called the name of that place Bethel. I believe this event in Jacob's life was a spiritual marker. It was something that he looked back to in the hard times of life. He said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." You know, God spoke to him in a real way there. He wanted to get his attention. You know, I had to wonder, how many times do we find ourselves maybe in the same frame of mind? We say something happens, and we realize that God is there, and I didn't realize it. And he has to reach down and shake us, wake us up to make us aware of his presence. And then we have the next incident in Jacob's life when he was when he met God, when he was going back to his family with his wives and children and herds. And there, when he knew he was gonna, he was pretty sure he was going to meet Esau, and he sent his family on ahead. He spent the night there alone, and he wrestled all night, and he was touched. He was, I believe, somewhat of a lame man from that day on. And his name was changed to Israel. I believe, again, it was a time that he could look back and see that God had a purpose and a plan for his life. He went through many difficult times ahead, and I'm sure he needed to claim these markers as he went through his life. And I believe the purpose of those were to draw attention to God, to what he had, what he did, and what who he is. I also had to think of, you know, some in life we have those things behind us. Brother Chad mentioned there was a time of coolness, a time of, and I can relate to that very much. I think there's times in our past that things there that we wish we wouldn't remember. And I had to think of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. He says, verse 13, he says, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I don't think the Apostle Paul was saying, "I'm going to forget that meeting he had with God on the way to Damascus." I don't think that's what he was forgetting. He wanted to forget those negative things in his past and press forward. And I think we all have those things in our life that we need to lay down. We need to put them under the blood and go forwards. And then last year, I'd like to look at Joshua. And I think I'm going to read a couple verses there. Joshua chapter 4, the first 8 verses. You can turn with me if you want. Just listen if you'd rather. It says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there." You know, again, God knows that we are a people that forget easily. We are easily sidetracked and wander. And in this passage, we read that God told Joshua to choose 12 men, one man from each tribe, to pick out a stone and take them to the lodging place that night. It seems like these men were to go back in after they crossed over. They were to go back to the center there where the priests were stood with the ark and pick up stones there. And I imagine that Joshua picked out some of the biggest, strongest men. And I only imagine they picked up the biggest rocks they could carry for this memorial. And let's look at a couple reasons Joshua gives for this. It was to be a time of remembering what God had done, there in verse 7. It was to remind them of their own personal experience. And it would make their children ask, "What mean ye by these stones?" Or, "What do these stones mean to you?" I believe we need to tell our story. We need to tell what Christ has done for us, what he means to us, who he is to us. Praise him and thank him for what he has done and is doing. Now, I doubt many of us have a pile of stones set up like this, like the children of Israel had at Gilgal, but I believe we all have positive markers in our past. And the children of Israel had plenty of negative ones also. But how much could be gained if we would focus on the spiritual markers of the past and lay down the negatives? We could focus on encouraging each other and helping each other through this uneven journey of life. You know, how often do we sit down and thank God for those people that he has used to encourage us in our lives? There are memories of experiences of God answering prayer and his marvelous hand of provision. You know, our faith is strengthened when we see God's hand in the daily circumstances of our lives. Now, those times that are completely out of our control, we had to reach out in faith to God. "God, this is in your hands. And, you know, it may not turn out the way we think it should or the way it would seem right to us, the way we had planned, but we see God's hand and we feel his presence." You know, these stones reminded the Israelites that they had not crossed the Jordan on their own ability or because of their own strength, but because of God, it would have been impossible themselves with all these children and the multitude they had there to cross that flooded river. But these stones gave them an opportunity to share with their faith with their children. Two times in this chapter, there in verse 6 and 7 that we read, and then also later on in verses 21 and 23. It says, verse 21, "Then shalt thou say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers." And these signs were also to be a signpost to the lost world. Verse 24 says, "That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever." You know, it's God's plan that the whole world should know that he is the only living God. You know, not only was this a stirring event for the children of Israel, but all the surrounding nations were terrified. They had probably gotten to the place of relaxing and even making fun of these poor Israelites wandering around out there in the wilderness. But this suddenly changed. Remembering what God has done, you know, ultimately we must never lose sight of the greatest sacrifice in history. You know, those three crosses, criminals on either side, the sinless, perfect Lamb of God in the center, taking my place, taking your place. Arms outstretched, hands nailed to that cross, torn and bleeding from the scourging. And despite the agony, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, can we draw a parallel to the Christian today, to the church today? How do you see yourself and your fellow believers? Forgetting what God has done? Wandering in the wilderness, complaining? Or remembering what God has done, going forth, conquering in Jesus' name? You know, as you look at the spiritual map of your Christian life, is it one of life, one of power, of victory? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And in closing, I'd like to quote from Paul there in Philippians 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's where the power lies. And I trust that's the source, and that's where we are going. So let's remember the importance, I believe, that of the spiritual markers in our past, all the way back into history, in the history of the Bible. Now, there's things there that, you know, those are, can be a blessing to us today. And I really appreciate those of you that shared, and I think it's important that we encourage each other. Let's kneel for prayer.